This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca, iTunes, and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
The bicycle lifestyle seems to have moved into the mainstream. Whether the surge in interest is related to the economy, the environment, or the times, it's being noticed. A recent article by Elizabeth Hurst in Momentum magazine asks us to consider whether cyclists across North America have one way to describe how they lead their lives. Or is the experience as unique as each individual cyclist? In other words, does the bike lifestyle constitute an identity?
And we're joined on the phone by Elizabeth O. Hurst. Welcome to People First Radio, Elizabeth.
Thank you for having me.
Elizabeth, you write for Momentum magazine, and in your article, which was called In Search of the Bike Lifestyle, you acknowledge that Momentum has tracked the evolution of cycling culture, but that now you and the magazine are tackling the definition of the bike lifestyle head on. So culture and lifestyle, tell us more about this analysis.
Sure. Well, Momentum's main purpose is making life on two wheels seem more accessible to a greater variety of people. And so this article's focus was to have a survey essentially of different stakeholders in the bike lifestyle across North America, talking to them about the importance of the bike in their life and ways that it has enhanced their life.
You write that the beauty of the bike is the diversity of its application. Tell us more about that diversity.
Well, it seems like the bike means something different to everybody, depending on where you live within North America, the circumstances of where your house is situated, of where your workplace is situated, of what type of people you may bike with, whether you bike alone. Taking up the bike means something different to everybody, depending on how they use it. Sometimes it may seem like a bicyclist has to be one type of person, but really it can be anyone eager to get on a bike and adapt their lifestyle to that.
You pointed out that the most obvious requirement of living the bike lifestyle is owning a set of wheels that is enjoyable to ride. What have you learned about bike ownership, and what have you seen amongst the people that you know in your own life?
Well, I've talked to people that spend hundreds of dollars on European-style cruiser bikes, or get any sort of bike off of a Craigslist listing for $100. There really is a range of just what people feel comfortable spending, depending on the circumstances that bike will be locked up in. Sometimes people enjoy having a bike that makes them feel a little more stylish. Sometimes they want a bike that makes them feel a little more utilitarian. In urban areas where you have bike share systems, you may not even need to own a bike. You can integrate the bike into your life without having to lock it up every night at your home.
Eric Kamphoff of Curbside Cycle in Toronto was quoted in your article. He says that people can't help but think that a bike is a toy, but they have to learn to think of it more like a car. Tell us about that dynamic.
I think that people, When they get a bike as an adult, it's an adjustment from when they had a bike as a child. They have to think about how it can be used as a mode of transportation to really get the full benefit. It is fun. That's why people pick up the bike. But it can be an investment in learning how to use it in an urban setting, and it can be an investment in purchasing the bike. So it's a vehicle for fun, but it's also one that you're really investing into. Invest in the bike lifestyle.
What are the largest changes that you've seen over time, particularly during the time that you've been observing the bike lifestyles? What has happened in the last few years?
Well, particularly with the economic climate, people are trying to get out of their cars more and reduce their carbon footprint, not just for the sake of the environment, because it is more cost effective. There is so much mental strain on people because of these economic times, and being on a bike sort of liberates you mentally and gives you a sense of independence and feeling of control that people might not feel otherwise. It gives people a sense of identity and community.
What about the dynamics that are occurring between the bikers and the drivers in vehicles and the sharing of the roads? What has happened recently in that area? What have you seen?
It really depends on the location. There are some cities such as Austin, Texas, that really embrace cyclists and make it easy for them to share the road with cars. I live in Washington, D.C., and you see that here with extensive bike lanes and bike share programs. In other cities, the ability to share the road is a little more difficult. There are some more hostile feelings, like in New York City, because some people think that it's hard for the bike and the car to coexist, but that's when really Momentum Magazine and other like organizations come in to try to give a voice to the bicycle and make that relationship work.
This is People First Radio, only on CHLY 101.7 FM and streaming at chly.ca. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.
A 2005 study by John Pusher and Ralph Bueller from Rutgers University looked at cycling trends and policies in Canadian cities. The researchers reported that the six Canadian cities in that study had made impressive efforts to encourage more and safer cycling. They discovered that bicycling shares of urban travel are roughly three times as high in Canada as in American cities of comparable size. And they point out that this effect is particularly impressive given the long, harsh winters in many Canadian cities. Elizabeth O. Hurst recently wrote about bike culture and lifestyle in Momentum magazine. She posed and investigated some basic questions about biking. Do cyclists across North America have one way to describe how they lead their lives, or is the experience as unique as each individual cyclist? Elizabeth Hurst is on the phone with us today.
Elizabeth, taking life by the handlebars, you write that being a lifestyle cyclist has some obvious benefits, including improved wellness, sanity, and finances. Tell us more about being a lifestyle cyclist.
Well, the mode of transportation you choose really touches all parts of your life, no matter what mode of transportation you choose. And with the bike in particular, the moment you step on it, you're receiving benefits physically and mentally. Maybe you're avoiding a commute that might be difficult by bike or transit. You, in a lot of cases, have a predictable commute because you know how long it takes you to get from point A to point B. You have a one-time expense in purchasing a bike beyond some routine maintenance, and really the bike is has a lot lower maintenance than most other vehicles. And really you can put as much of yourself into your bike as you want. You can have it take you to meet friends, have it take you to work. You can dress up your bike, add accessories. You can develop a wardrobe that is compatible with a bike as much as it is with your everyday work and personal life.
David Foote, an IT specialist in Portland, is quoted in your article, and he said, "A lot of things I like to do now happen in the course of my day, like exercise and photography. The bike has helped bring cohesiveness to my life." Tell us more about the effects of the bike lifestyle on individual people that you've spoken with.
I think that comment is really spot on. I think that the bike does make people's lives more cohesive. It allows freedom to express yourself and to see the world around you from a totally different perspective than you would if you were in a bus or a train or a car. And I think that it really opens up possibilities to people that they want to think creatively about their bike route. They want to join in maybe with a local community that does bike rides. It really opens up a lot of possibilities.
You point out that lifestyle cyclists find strength in the urban bike community, and you've mentioned communities the urban bike community that surrounds them while still enjoying the independence of the bike lifestyle itself. Tell us more about the independence and community aspects of that lifestyle.
I think both really go hand in hand because, as I said before, the bike really empowers you to do what you want, to be where you want to be. It gives you a lot of control over your movement and over where you are. At the same time, if you bike with a community, it empowers you to know better how to ride your bike, what routes to take, what bikes might be best suited for you, what sort of accessories or other things might enhance your experience. So it really is up to your individual feeling of where you want the bike to take you. At the same time, you learn a lot from sharing that experience with others.
And what about that word identity, the concept of a unique personality or of unique identifying characteristics? Is there a bike identity? And if there is, how would you describe it?
Well, I think the bike identity, as I discovered in researching for this article, is pretty loosely defined. You need to have a bike, and you need to have the will and interest to integrate it into your life. But really, you can make it anything that you want it to be. You can ride daily. You can ride weekly. There isn't a strict definition, like a club per se, that you have to do a certain thing in order to be considered even a commuter cyclist. It's the bike is there to be used at your will.
What is the discussion in bike communities and amongst people in the biking lifestyle? What is the discussion about the use of helmets and various safety challenges and choices around safety issues?
Well, definitely in like the bike blogging community where people blog about their biking experiences, I think in most every instance, safety with helmets is very important. The helmet laws can sometimes detract people from wanting to get on bikes, and those regulations differ regionally.
But in Momentum magazine's postings online or in the magazine, you certainly don't always picture people wearing helmets.
Well, that is something that we try to do as much as possible. But for artistic and other reasons, it doesn't always happen that way.
Elizabeth, is there anything else that you'd like to add to our conversation today?
Oh, no, thank you very much. I've really enjoyed speaking with you.
Thanks a lot for taking the time to join us.
Elizabeth O'Hurst is a journalist and storyteller who approaches life adventures with constructive curiosity about the human experience. You can find Elizabeth online at her blog, elizabethohurst.com, and you can find Momentum Magazine online at momentumplanet.com.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with the Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.